Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, Willard Wigan is a successful sculptor, and the likes of Prince Charles, Elton John and Mike Tyson have examples of his work. But the work produced by Willard, who is autistic, is not the sort of thing you can stick on the mantelpiece. They are micro-sculptures, so small they cannot be viewed by the naked eye. And Willard joins us now. Good afternoon, Willard.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Your career started when you were quite young, when you decided to build little houses for ants. How did that happen?
That's correct. You know, I mean, my school life is a journey and inspiration and experience, you know, because I started school in 1962. I was born in 1957. I come from a family of eight. You know, life was pretty hard because of my autism, which wasn't diagnosed. When I started school, it was traumatic because some of the teachers would use me as an example of failure because I couldn't spell my name. So life was hard for me.
Mm.
But I discovered it's like the diamond in the dustbin came out, you know?
Yeah.
So what actually happened, you know, I couldn't cope with the fact that I was being humiliated so much by the teachers. It traumatized me so much that, you know, I'd just stopped speaking. So this happened one day. I looked, you know, around the playground. I could see all the kids kind of making fun and stuff, you know, after I've been introduced as failure. So I thought, you know, my left leg was in school, my right leg was out, my body was in school, my mind wasn't. So I ran away from school, and, you know, then I carried on running, you know, and I got to my house and I saw the fence and climbed over the fence. There was a shed behind the fence. I hid in the shed, stayed there for a little bit, seeing my mum wasn't in the kitchen, she'd gone to work. I came out. We used to have a little dog, you see, called Maxie. I was playing with a dog with a ball, and I bounced the ball. It went over the next door neighbour's fence, and he was digging to get hold of the ball. And as he'd done that, lots of ants came out the ground because he disturbed an ant's nest. So, into my head, I kept thinking that the ants had got nowhere to live. I felt sorry for them. I got all emotional there at the ants, and I thought, I need to build some houses for ants. So I took my dad's blue Gillette razor blade and snapped a piece off with a twig. And so in my hand, I had a microscopic shard of razor blade. I started picking up splinters of wood and constructing and building little houses. I made a whole village for ants, even a little palace for the queen ant, tables and chairs, seesaws and swings. I just got carried away. I became possessed, you know. I didn't think it was a gift until one of the girls next door seen it. And then I heard her say, "Wow, that's absolutely amazing." And I heard that word. I had an injection of encouragement. There's so much enthusiasm that I became obsessed, possessed now, until my mum seen it. Then my mum said, when my mum seen my work, my mum was so overwhelmed. She just said one thing to me. She said, "You make them smaller, your name get bigger." And that was the journey for me to becoming the greatest micro artist of all time.
Yeah. Could you describe for us, though, Willard, how you go about making these pieces? Because they can't be seen by the naked eye.
I've evolved since then. I mean, when I was a child, I used to use it with a razor blade. But now, what I do now, I make microscopic tools. You know, how I do that, I've got an hypodermic needle, a very fine one. A friend of mine's a microsurgeon, and he gave me this needle, right? And I've got another friend who works in Birmingham in the clock business called Mr. Meeks. He gives me all types of things that I can adapt into tools. He gave me all these little diamonds, broken ones, and I hit them with a hammer, smashed them up into little splinters, and I got these fragments of diamonds, and I pushed them into the end of this hypodermic, and all the little broken bits of diamond, and I pick up, like, I got a grain of sand once, and I held it down. I made a claw made from an acupuncture needle, flattened it and bent into a little hook and held it down. And I started chiseling away at this grain of sand, and I carved a church out of it. You put the stained glass windows in it. Hmm. I made the stained glass windows out of, you know, when ladies' makeup, cosmetic, that little glittery stuff inside the makeup. I took one fragment of that out and made the windows. And then, sometimes I use gold. When you buy a shirt and you get that plastic tag in your shirt, I get that out and I carved a hold of the Last Supper with that, and I painted them with my eyelash. I work 16, 17 hours a day, 18 hours, whatever. I work between my heartbeats. I slow down my breathing. I make all different types of tools. I make tweezers out of eyelashes. You know, I have to work 1.5 seconds between the heartbeats, or the pulse doesn't become detrimental to the work. And, you know, I dedicate myself so much that I create works of art. It's like David versus Goliath. My work knocks people out. Joe Egan, famous boxer who used to spar with Mike Tyson, who's never been knocked out before, when he saw my work, he said, "My work is the only work that's ever knocked him out."
And you, on the subject of boxing, you did recently make one for Tyson Fury. Could you tell us about that one?
That man's one of the greatest boxers of all time, right? And there's no question about that, right? He's the modern-day Muhammad Ali, right? This man has come from the depth of disaster, right? The tunnel of no return. Put on 28, 29 stone. Mental health, right, written off. Tyson Fury showed people that in life, you get knocked down. It's not what you do when you get knocked down. It's what you do when you get back up. They locked me down at school. They called me illiterate. They called me everything. You know what they say? The punch that knocks you out is the one you can't see. My work is a big message, right? That's what my work is. I create the smallest sculptures in history, and I'm getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
I'm 64, and I'm getting better. The world doesn't understand what I'm capable of. Look, I made 14 camels in the Eye of a Needle. I'm now working on 22 children in the Eye of a Needle and the Pied Piper playing a horn in the Eye of a Needle, a small needle, right? You know, I can go so small, I can go down to 6 microns. You know, I put a motorbike inside a human hair. Now, the reason why I do it, because I'm autistic, you see, because of the autistic tendencies, it gives you an advantage, you see. Autism is a blessing in disguise.
That
the Tyson Fury one is just a bit bigger. It's not the best I've done.
Mm.
I've just done it a little bit bigger. But let me tell you something. I've done a lot bigger, actually. I did Tyson Fury from memory. When I do my work, I don't use no photographs. I use my photographic memory. So there's so much about me that the world don't know yet, because I'm capable of doing so much more. You know, that's why I want to share my story with you.
Yeah, and it's an extraordinary story. Willard Wigan is the world's greatest microsculptor. Willard, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. God bless.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. Somebody said, I don't doubt he's the greatest micro artist of all time, but is he also the only micro artist of all time? That's a good point. I don't know. But given that he's completely self-taught, and if you look up pictures of it, it's extraordinary what he's done. They literally are tiny, tiny things within the eye of a needle. It's beggars belief that he's able to do that. And he didn't tell us in the course of that, but he was doing one day. And, you know, as he said there, he has to regulate when he works between his heartbeat because it can interfere with it. But one day he just inhaled at the wrong time and he just sucked in something he'd be working on for weeks. It's as, you know, it's as delicate as that. Fair play to that man. Well done. In school, if you're not Einstein or Christy Ring, you're written off. Well, indeed. That would be a hell of a combination if you were Einstein and Christy Ring, both in the same person. Whacking slitters around the place and then going, hang on, how fast is that moving? If the sculptures are invisible to the human eye, how do you even know you've bought anything or what you've bought? Nick wants to know. Well, because apparently they sell for like 100 grand a pop. And so if you're able to afford 100 grand for a tiny, you'd also be able to afford a magnifying glass to look at it. And that's what they how they tend to be displayed inside boxes made of magnifying glass, so you can see what they are. On the subject of Vikings being the first to arrive in North America, someone wonders, have often wondered why there hasn't been more pushback from North American indigenous people, a la BLM kind. Think it was news to Native Americans that the land they worked and respected was only discovered by Columbus, never actually ever set foot on the coast. Well, that's a good point, actually, that. And a few other people made that point that it's kind of Eurocentric to say you discover a country when the people in that country are going, no, you didn't. We've been here the whole time. So, you know, we've discovered you. How about that then? And on a completely different subject, Anna says, and there may be a lot more of this happening, unfortunately, now that everything's opening up again. Anna says, can you please remind your listeners to pull off the ear loops on their face masks? I went for a walk on the beach earlier and saw a seagull with a mask around its neck. Gosh. And that's kind of similar to the ring pull things around tins of soft drink and beer, that they can get stuck in that as well. Well, also, you know, just don't drop your mask on the beach. Wait until you get to a bin. That's no great particular hardship if you can do that.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.